Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence here, God, that is so real, it transforms our lives. It doesn't matter the amount of years that we've struggled, the amount, the generations past, sins and curses that have been passed on, and all of those things, it doesn't matter. It doesn't factor in when we enter his presence. This is a series. This is our theme for the summer. We want to go into more of the depths of the glory of God as we focus on the presence of the Lord. You can only talk about God, something about God, for so long before he shows up. I want our hearts to be awakened, expectant for him even tonight. Worship was amazing. I'm like, I'm not going to get to speak after this. After that worship. Thank you, Lord. You know, in Psalm 19, David comes. This is I feel David's defining chapter. This defines him in all of the entirety of who he is. You have to read the Psalm backwards to understand the context. He comes into the presence of the Lord. More than anyone else, David wrestled with his flesh. He wrestled with the things that disqualified him, you know, that would keep him out of the presence of the Lord. So if you read this chapter about, this is not even in my notes, this is just tagging off of Justin's testimony. This is how Psalm 19 ends. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and I shall be innocent of great transgression. So this is what the weight of what he's carrying, his own transgressions, his own secrets, and his own, the weight of his own inadequacies. He's coming to the presence of the Lord. That should have been the first thing that he began to cry out and declare in God. God, I'm not worthy to enter your presence. If I can only stand outside and I'll sweep the floors outside because of my sin, but I love you, so I'm going to hang out outside. That should have been the expression of David in Psalm 19. But you know, I want you to picture him coming with the burden of his life, of his past, of his failures from his life. But he comes to the presence of the Lord, and here's how Psalm 19 begins. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and the words to the ends of the world. Come on. When we come into the presence of the Lord, our language changes. When we come into the presence of the Lord, immediately our history is changed into the revelation of the glory of God that he intends to reveal through our lives. And when we stumble through the glory of God at the end, we get to say, God, here are those things I forgot that I came with. So God, I pray you would multiply Justin's testimony here in this house through this summer. Thank you, Lord, for every, as we're praying for people under 30, we thank you for everyone in this age group of decision and looking for destiny, looking for future. God, what is ahead and struggling through things perhaps. We ask for the manifest presence of God here in this community, here on this hill, here on this property, God, that would transform us in a moment. Thank you, Lord. Let it just be prayer after one person. Let it not take three people, Lord. Let it be after, as soon as we walk in, as soon as we drive in. We already have testimonies of people being healed as they drove in. What was that testimony? Somebody with the allergy, severe allergy, and they were choking and dying. They were new to town. They did not know where the hospital was, but they had visited Life Center a few times. And the few times that they came, there was a word of knowledge and they got healed from like minor things like migraine and, you know, different things like that. So when they were choking with this food allergy, they said, we don't know where the hospital is. And he said, take me to Life Center. They drove into Life Center. As soon as they drove up the driveway, he gets healed. Come on. This is the presence of God, which is real. Not only did he get healed in that moment from basically dying, he got healed of the allergy. Was it like peanut allergy or something like that? Red onion, that's what it was. Amen. Thank you, Lord. He not only takes care of that moment, he rewrites our history so we start anew. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament, night unto night, day unto day, utter the glory and declare the excellencies of our God. I'm just adding to that passage. I can only memorize a few things and I can, you know, it's like a springboard. You have freedom to dive right in. Thank you, Lord. So tonight, I just want you to be expecting. I want your hearts to be open to what God wants to do. And in the end, because we read the chapter backwards, what I feel for tonight is if you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, I want your hearts to be open and expectant for God to encounter you. So if that's you, just awaken your heart, awaken your expectation. It's a free gift. It's a free gift from God, and it's available in his presence. My daughter started speaking in tongues at 2, one of them, in the parking lot here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And another group I want to open the atmosphere for tonight, if you just want an encounter with God, a fresh encounter. No holds barred, no restrictions, no direction. It could be healing. Whatever you want in the presence of the Lord, come and get it. If you want it afresh, anew, I know this will be all of us. I'm going to be there first. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to be in it the whole time. I'm just going to keep talking until I feel the presence. Thank you, Lord. So let your hearts and your expectations be high, because we want to encounter him together, because what we cultivate here will be life or death for somebody like that person who is literally dying on their way here. Thank you, Lord. And many more like Justin and others who are looking 15 years searching for a moment of encounter. Thank you, Lord. Reminds me of a story. We were in Ethiopia on top of Mount Entoto. We go there every time we're in Ethiopia because it overlooks the city. And we have history there. Sarah's dad used to go there and pray before communism fell. And so we have history on top of this mountain. And this one time we went, eucalyptus trees had grown so tall. And we had kind of built it up. This is an amazing vantage point. We're going to pray and worship and intercede for the nation and everything. It was exciting, you know, and that you kind of build it up as a leader. And we get there, the whole view is covered with eucalyptus trees. And a good rainy season, I guess, that year. And our staff and the students are saying, "This is. Are we going to stay? Are we going to keep pray? I said, hey, we're here. Might as well worship for a little bit, you know. And so we started to worship. We had a couple of guitars, a djembe, a flute. And we just did what we knew to do, you know, and worship the Lord. And as we were worshiping, this guy who looked like a priest, like an Orthodox priest, he came. We saw him walking from a little hut. He began to walk and stood at a distance from us. And he saw us, and then he kept getting closer and closer and closer. He got close to us. And one of our team went over, started to talk to him with our translator. And he said, he's an ascetic monk. He said, I left the Orthodox church in the city and came up on this mountaintop in that hut. That's my home. I've been here 10 years seeking God. And when I heard the sound of your worship, when I heard the sound of a guitar, something stirred in my heart and I wanted to come and find out what it is. And we began talking to him. And he gives his life to the Lord, long story short. And we ask him, you know, what's your name? And he said, his name is Brahanu, which means his light. And we go, I said, can we come to where you live and just speak a blessing over your house? So he takes us to his hut and we're standing in there. He says, this is where there's literally a cot and some pots and pans on the floor. That's where he came here to find God and didn't find God till a group of young people showed up with a guitar and a flute, and we were trying to keep everything in tune, you know, and just sing. We almost missed it because eucalyptus trees. But in a moment, what he'd been searching for 10 years came to pass. I said, it's not just this moment. While we're in his hut, I remember I told him, every day that you've been here for 10 years, God has been watching you and waiting. He literally jumped across us, the floor mat, and just began to weep in my chest. He came and spent the rest of the time with us. A priest. We have pictures of this encounter and video as well. While this was going on, so his name is Brahanu. While this was going on, we hear the sound of a walkie-talkie, and And a policeman comes walking by, and we're like, oh no, maybe we're not supposed to be here anymore. Maybe, you know, things have changed, you know. And so he comes walking. We can hear his walkie-talkie going off. And he gets closer and closer, like the priest did, closer and closer. He comes near us. And one of our team, of course, we go, you know, we're aware, you know, to our surroundings. We go and start talking to him. And he shares a story. He says, I was born into a Pentecostal believing family. But as a teenager, I walked away from the Lord. And I was involved in all kinds of things. I didn't want God in my life. I just wanted to live my life this way. And I was on patrol here. And when I heard the sound of your singing, it brought back all of my inheritance from my family. And I just came close. It's not like you don't hear worship in Ethiopia. It's an amazing, amazing nation that holds the power of worship in their culture. But it is moments like that, visitations of God, that can transform a person's life in a moment. He came close. He gave his life back. This is all happening within 30 minutes of each other with the Orthodox. He's right, the Orthodox priest. And the police officer comes. He rededicates his life to the Lord. And he says, I cannot wait. My parents, my family, they've been praying for me. They will not believe that this happened. At the end, we asked him, so, you know, what is your name? And he says, Brahanu. His light. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Two people, both one representing the sacred sphere and one representing the authority in the secular, both of them get transformed and give their life and rededicate their life to the Lord in a moment. This is the power of the presence of God. The power of the presence of God. And this is our culture here at Life Center. This is a culture that's been cultivated, that's been lived out by our pastors over these years. And it's been an impartation to all of us. We're here because we like whether we know what it is, whether we feel we have, whether we have the right theology or not. You don't need any kind of theology for the presence of God. You just need to come into it. You just need to experience it. That's why fishermen could become apostles who would then become the foundation of what is yet to come still. Thank you, Lord. So we all qualify for amazing things in God. We just need to show up. We just need to wake up and show up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The presence of God throughout history, throughout scriptures, all of scriptures, every time God was dealing with men and women throughout the Bible, he revealed himself. It wasn't an ethereal idea. It wasn't just an ideology or just a thought. Hey, you know, today it's a thing, you know, thoughts and prayers. You know what society tells us about, you know, thoughts and prayers. They don't need our thoughts and prayers. It's not thoughts. It's just not just thoughts. His presence was always given to men and women to be manifest. It was always given, not just as an idea or a cloud hanging above their head. Hey, God is kind of for us. We don't, you know, he's with us. He called us. It was always manifest to them. It was tangible. This is the nature of the presence of God, that it wouldn't be just, it's in the atmosphere. It's kind of, you know, we don't know exactly what it is. No, it's meant to actually have shape. It's meant to actually have form. It's meant to have encounter with us that has purpose in it to transform us tangibly. Thank you, Lord. We went through North India a few years ago with the team, and we said, well, it's going to be a different trip. It's going to be a different outreach. We're going to focus first week on people, second week on land, and third week on culture. And it was such a difficult trip for our whole team because people supported them to come. And we only did traditional outreach for 1 week. The second week, I said, this whole week, we're going to go up to Darjeeling, Gangtok, the northeastern crown of India, 3 kilometers from the Chinese border. We went up 12,000 feet up in the mountain to pray, spend time, and enjoy the beauty of the land. It was a stretch for the whole team. It was a stretch for me to lead what I was feeling on the inside. Because you have to love the people, you have to love the land, you have to love the culture. Third week was for culture. We went to Rajasthan, which is a culture capital of India. The colors of India come from there. The ancient Rajputs come, the kings come from there. The folk music comes from Rajasthan. So we spent the third week just immersing ourselves in the culture of the land. It was even greater stretch for our team. I said, guys, this is something I'm feeling on the inside. I know God is in it. His presence is here for us to lead us in this way. The end of the third week, we're out on the streets in Rajasthan, and one of our team members on the streets meets a sadhu. You know what a sadhu is? Like a Hindu saint. You know, they wear orange, some of them, like an ascetic monk from India. He doesn't speak English. She doesn't speak Hindi. And they both look at each other, stare at each other, smile at each other, and he begins to weep. She begins to weep. They hug each other, and they walk away. The presence of God needs no language, needs no definition, needs no expertise, needs no theology, needs no, you don't need to have written five books to see the hearts of men and women transformed. Thank you, Lord. But it's good to have theology and good to write books and everything. People tell me, oh, Chandi, you should write a book. I don't have time to write a book. Maybe when my kids are off to college. But that's not the reason. I want to live it out a lot more than before I begin to write. I don't want to be stuck behind a desk writing when I can be living it out. I don't like being there. I look for every opportunity not to be behind a desk. Thank you, Lord. So this is our culture here in this community, the presence of the Lord. This is a central, it's the meeting point. It's the center of all that we're doing. When the law, when Israel, when the Hebrews were called out of slavery into freedom, the redemption, the amazing redemption story, God led them not, he could have said, hey, miracles, signs and wonders, you know, all of the plagues in Egypt. And he said, go, look at these amazing things. Now go. Led them through dry land, cross the sea. Look at all these amazing things I've done. Now go. Go into the promised land. That's not what he did. He sent his manifest presence, tangibly, visibly in front of them. We don't know how, it doesn't say how long it lasted, but I think it lasted the whole time. For 40 years, in front of them, a physical pillar of cloud in front of a whole nation. Day after. This was his desire, that his people, no matter what they came out of, his tangible, his manifest presence is enough to lead them. And when they came to the sea and saw an army chasing them, the angel that was with the cloud went behind, and the cloud now that was spearheading and leading them shifted position, shifted nature, and came behind them, became fire to them by night and darkness to the Egyptians. You see, the presence of God is not just happenstance. It's not just, I don't know where it is. I don't know what it is. It is so purposeful. It can change its form. It can change its nature. If he needs to lead you, he will lead you. If he needs to protect you, he will shift location, geography, come behind you and change his own revelation in that manifest nature and be fire for everyone who tries to attack. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm just sifting through so many stories. Thank you, God. And the nation begins to be formed, and God gave Moses laws. This is how you're going to represent me. You are going to be the manifestation of me as a nation on the earth. So Israel became the manifestation, or may I dare to say the manifest presence in human form on earth representing God. That's really what he desired, with him leading them. He gave them laws, way, social laws, moral laws, cultural laws, a way that these laws would define who they are in their relationship with God. But in the centrality of all of the hundreds of laws that God gave them, in the center of their way of life that would declare who God is, in the center of all of that was the manifest presence of God in the tabernacle of meeting. They weren't meant to get lost in the doing of the law. They were meant to receive the law that would direct them, their focus of attention, to the centrality of the presence, the manifest presence of God in the center of their camp. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It wasn't an option. This was to be the center of their whole life. Everyone had an option, even with the strict laws. Like David, if they had transgressed, even though the law prescribed harsh punishments, they, like David, had the opportunity to come in and declare the excellencies and the glory of God. Because the law propels us into him. The law is a foreshadowing of who Jesus would be, who was in the center in the manifest glory of God. Thank you, Lord. Not just that it will be the center of their lives, but it will be of utmost priority. They will keep the laws every day. They will do the rituals. They will keep the feasts. They will keep the Shabbat. They will keep the spring festivals and the fall feasts. And they will do all of the things that was prescribed until the manifest presence shows up. And then every man would stand. When Moses would go into the tent of meeting, the cloud would again appear outside the tabernacle to signal this is what it's all about. And every man would come outside their tent to witness this manifest presence. This was the goal. This was the focus. This was the desire of God for all of the Old Testament, all of the laws. The first covenant was given so that it would order their lives in order that they would see him. Thank you, Lord. Not only the centrality, but it will become of the utmost priority. We lived in Cyprus for many years, but recently, for the last 8 years, we meet together every morning for worship. 2 hours. Sometimes teachers would come from overseas to teach for a week, and that whole week would be just encounters, and they would not even teach a single minute. Because when the Spirit of God shows up, everything else takes second priority. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He has called us to be a community. He has called us to be a school where we have finances involved. We have schedules involved. We've invited a distinguished, honored guest into our community who left his family and ministry, traveled from America to come to senior leader to be with us. But when the presence of God shows up, everything and everyone takes a seat so we can honor what he's doing in our midst. Sometimes it would go from morning, right, Sarah, from morning till evening. We would only go home because we needed to take our kids to bed. That was not every day. I'm trying to build it up beyond what it is. But there are moments when the things that we talk about and live in a way, God has given us ways of life, ways of living, you know, in community and church life and friends and fellowship and all of those things. But when his manifest presence enters the room, everyone comes out of his tent of doing to come witness what God is doing in that moment. Thank you, Lord. So the presence of God is intended to be manifest. Now, these are corporate examples. There are so many more. Our daughter, when she's 14, our oldest daughter, she's 14 now. We were in the sanctuary here. She was 2 years old. I was holding her during worship, and she tapped me on my shoulder, and she said, "Abba, look." She pointed to the crowd, and she said, "Rain." I said, what? Are you seeing something? She said, "Yes, it's raining over there." She was 2 year old. She just began to speak. And she was, as a child, she was seeing the manifestation of the presence of God in the form of rain in our sanctuary. This is what's on offer for us as a community who have made, like Israel, the presence of God our center point, our focus and our priority. Thank you, Lord. Another time I want to share some corporate examples and then go into my favorite form of the manifestation is the personal manifestation. I love the corporate manifestation. So another example, we were from the Joshua School. We used to lead the Joshua School here. We went on outreach to Ethiopia. And Travis was on this trip at that time. He was our student. We were ministering in a church that had just built a new building, and they hadn't completed it. So it was all cement, and the windows and doors weren't put in. So it was just like cutouts in the wall. The floor was all cement. The stage was cement. And it was all dusty because construction's still going on. They were so excited that we were there. They said, "No, we're going to have the meeting right here." Nobody swept the floors. No one cleaned. It was just because tomorrow construction's coming. They didn't do it like we do construction here. And we started the meeting, you know, our team led worship and we shared testimonies. We did a skit, we did a drama, all the things that we had prepared. I think one of our team members preached and more students shared testimonies. At the end, we called for ministry time and, you know, like normal, a lot of people came up and we started to minister and pray over them. While we're praying, because it's open windows, you know, not windows, just open in the wall, openings in the wall, a gust of wind came into the room and it kicked up the dust on the ground from this left aisle. Remember this era? And because there was dust on the floor, we could actually see it. You can't see wind, but you can see it if it's on, you know, if the leaves are moving or if it's on the ground and there's dust, you can see it. And like a little whirlwind, it wasn't massive, it wasn't big, like, you know, we weren't in awe of anything, but we noticed it, you know, just because we're not used to that. We're not around dust like that all the time. So while we're praying, all of us are like pointing, look at that, you know, and it started in the back. This little whirlwind came up the aisle and we're like, that's so cute. And it literally went across where we were praying for people. And it's just picking up. There's like paper on the floor, dirt, you know, and trash. And it's picking up what, you know, it's not strong, small. And over on the side, a group of little kids, maybe from 2-year-old to 12-year-old. There's probably like 30, 40 kids. They were just there the whole service observing. They were into worship and everything. They're watching ministry time. This dust whirlwind comes and dissipates when it hits them. All of these kids go into a full-blown encounter, weeping, wailing, intercession, declaration, prophetic utterance. They were having an encounter when the fear of God fell on all of us. I was like, Brian Leach didn't teach me what to do at this point. This is all we know to do. He's here now. What do we do? Help! Everything else stopped, and we allowed for God to encounter these kids. And they came out, began to literally tears staining their dirt. You can see the streaks, and they're not just like mild. They were heaving, they were sobbing, they were shaking and prophesying. We have this footage. We need to find some of this footage. This is before YouTube. This is before Todd White started doing this on the streets. Should have thought about it then. We would have had we would have been famous by now. We were just at Bethel, Austin this week on vacation. We have family there. And one of their pastors, he's a seer. And he was talking about, he sees angels a lot. And he said they were in Duisburg, Germany just last week for ministry. And they were in this meeting, revival, that God's moving and, you know, all these miracles going on. And he says, I saw an angel standing right in front of us. And I said, I didn't know what to do. So I stuck my hand in it, in where he saw the angel. See, I don't have theology for this, okay? He stuck his hand in it, in where he saw the angel, and oil started dripping. And I'm like, stop. And my brother-in-law said, no, this really, we saw it happen. And that happens to him a lot. You know, they've talked about oil manifesting on his hands a lot. Jahi told us, Sarah's brother-in-law said, he's had oil appear on his hand. He'll wipe it off and they'll watch. It's not sweat. It has a fragrance to it. And he said, when he saw this angel, he stuck his hand in. There's no telling what God can do, how God can do it, how the presence of God can manifest. He can come through the dirt floor looking for hearts that are open to receive his encounter. Thank you, Lord. We were a bunch of doofuses standing there thinking how cute it is. Probably the kids were in awe of if our hearts are open, he will encounter us. No matter what our history, no matter what our story, no matter what our apprehensions are, we all have a call and a purpose in God. There are prayers that have been prayed for you that you don't know of. Perhaps he will grace you with that knowledge, but we're all here because somebody prayed for you. We are in collision course with the manifest presence of God in our lives. We've all experienced it. That's how we're sitting here, because he came after us first in order for us to say, God, I need you in my life. But I want it more. I want the greater reality of the manifest presence in my life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And in Exodus, after all of these laws, you know, Moses, he has the plan. He's seen God's signs and wonders and miracles. He said, God, I know you're calling me. This is a great passage from, is it the Message or the Passion Translation? From the Message. Moses, it's a great, great interaction. Moses says to God, look, you tell me, lead this people. I want to say it in a Jewish accent. Look, you tell me, lead this people. I can't do it. But you don't let me know. It's half New York. I didn't get time to practice this one. But you don't let me know whom you're going to send with me. You tell me. I know you well and you're special to me. If I'm so special to you, let me in on your plans. That way I will continue being special to you. Don't forget, this is your people, your responsibility. So he's having this exchange with God. God, you're leading us. I know of all the things you've done, and I see the things you're asking me to do with this great this number of people, but you have to send somebody with me. Show me how we're going to do this. In the next line, he says, if your presence doesn't go with us, don't send us out from here. Moses tapped into, because of his encounters, he knows God can do it. He knows the plan is there. He knows the laws are there. None of those things can make anything happen unless the presence of God begins to manifest before them. And he says this famous line, if your presence doesn't go with us, don't send us out from here. What he didn't know, this is Exodus 33:15. What he didn't realize is that in Exodus 33:11, God was preparing Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses. From that time of meeting, Moses had left that place of meeting, but there was one who still remained in the tent of meeting. That's what it says in Exodus 33:11. While he was saying, don't let me go alone. Who are you going to send with me? God was preparing both his presence and a person to go with him. And it was this young man who remained in the presence of the Lord that walked into the destiny, that walked into the promised land, that walked into that place that God had prepared for a whole nation. No amount of plan, no amount of strategy, no amount of willpower, no amount of wanting to know what is right or wrong will take us to our destiny, but the manifest presence of God. I love this room. And I did mental math. My math may not be that great. But we've spent close to 2,500 hours in this room with probably 20 of us. Right, Brian? Not more than 25. For 6 years. Before the explosion happened with, you know, Fire and Fragrance and YWAM and all those guys came in. We were not famous. We were not known. I didn't have long, blonde, curly hair like Sean Foy. I actually had long, curly, black hair. It was better than his blonde hair. But he still has hair, so I lose. But I still look good, so I win. My daughter's friends ask her, can you ask your dad, does he polish his head? Serious. This is the kind of chat that goes on like at our house. How about my friends want to know, do you polish your head? Do you buff your head? Well. The lighting guys tell me on Sundays that they had to adjust the lighting when I get up because there's just too much glare. But in this atmosphere where we've honored the corporate manifestation of his presence, it's the personal manifestation in our lives that adds, that we bring. I'm coming to this corporate environment where I know his presence is there. I'm coming not only to receive from it, I'm coming with a fire that is stoked, and I'm adding my fire in, right in up front and center. I'm adding it to the altar. I'm cultivating a fire in my life that will never burn out by the grace and power of God in our lives. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And one of the ways of cultivating this in our lives, because corporately it's out there. Everyone sees it. Everyone knows it. People think I'm loud all the time. I'm not. If when I'm done, I'm good not to talk to anybody you can ask my wife. For weeks, if I don't talk to anyone, I'm totally happy. I'm one of the most introverted people there is. And in this place, David's story, we know David and, you know, the story of David and Goliath, how he conquered the giant that was challenging a whole nation. But it wasn't a feat of great strength or strategy or great courage of David in that point. It was David sitting under some tree in his sheep-keeping obscurity that he stoked his devotion of God within himself to such a magnitude that God, in his imagination, was much bigger than Goliath. You see, the courage that we have for great exploits with God is in that place of hidden obscurity where nobody knows you. You're sitting under a tree. You're trying to clean up after the sheep, but you're singing. You have a tune in your heart. You have a thought in your mind. You have a meditation in your heart that is enlarging your own capacity of God. In your heart, in your mind, he's getting larger and larger and larger and larger, where that becomes your resident reality, that when you come up to Goliath, he says, "Who are you? Uncircumcised Philistine, because you weren't there under the tree for the last 10 years when I've magnified my God bigger than any reality. Come here in the name of..." Come on. What's your place of obscurity? What's your hidden place? What's your place where you magnify the Lord? Where no one sees, no one... You're clapping for me. Thank you very much. But you weren't there when there was no one to clap. I actually have noise-canceling headphones, so that's where I go. I can go there anytime. Right, Sarah? Where no one knows, no one sees, no one hears, but God is being enlarged in us. The presence, the manifest presence of God is getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The awareness of the presence of God in our lives. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Also, and this may sound trivial, but I'm just going to say what works for me. It's cultivating. It's not oil, it's just sweat. No, just sweat. That would have been cool. I would have passed out if I smelled oil. But I remember another corporate star. I remember we used to go to Jill Austin meetings back in the renewal days. She had this big old laugh that would scare us. And then she said, "Now he's coming in the room. You're gonna smell things." And I actually smelled incense, frankincense, and roses in the room. Another way from my life of cultivating the presence of God in a personal way, in obscurity, is just the simplicity of my life. Not just in a spiritual way, in the natural way. Where my heart, you'll hear me often pray, "God, soften my heart, tenderize my heart. So I know when you move, I know when you where you are." But not just in the spiritual dynamics, in the natural things. When it rains, I love sitting and enjoying the rain, because I am aware of the goodness of God on the earth through rain. If it's a thunderstorm, I know it can bring destruction. Lord, protect us. But I'm in awe of you right now. On a sunny day, I look at, if it's sunshine, I just think of how is it hanging there? I think of the solar system. You know, just thoughts, simple thoughts of him that keep me aware that God is fully at work. When I see the clouds, I am in awe. I know there's signs behind it. He has created everything and created a framework around what we are able to discover, that we come to the edge of discovery and then we say, "How awesome. The heavens declare the glory of God." That's the intent. That's the desire that God has given us, to find things and seek things and learn things, to be scientific in our knowledge till the point where we can't discover anymore. And then we say, God, you're so awesome altogether. When it snows, I love the snow. I know it turns into slush. I know it takes us longer to get to work. I know it's just not pretty later on. It gets, you know, just on the sides of the road. It's so it's the worst thing to see for like sometimes months on end. But I don't let that bother me. I look for the next snowfall and say, God, this is so beautiful. It's simple. It's a simple cultivation, continually aware of the wonder of God. When we lived in Cyprus, our house was in a remote village. No street, no bright street lights on our street. So when we would pull up to our garage, it's an open, just a little metal roof. Sounds great. But we would pull in, and from our car to the door, it was pitch dark. And I never left the outside lights on, which you normally do when you go out at night because you want to come back and see where your door is. I would never leave it on, because when I come out of my door, Sarah, she can attest to this, I would look up because you could see how brilliant in that dark village up on a mountain, how brilliant the stars are. Every time without fail, I'm in awe of God. We need to cultivate that personally. The natural things, how we respond to people, growing in the grace of God. I'm going to close shortly. Here's what it says in Romans 12. Simple things. Simple. This is important in this context because we're given to a corporate manifestation of God, which can come in signs and wonders and miracles, healing ministry, miracles, you know, all these things we're after. We love Todd White and all these amazing men and women who come through our house. We love all of those things. But you know what cultivates on a personal level? It's not seeing that daily. That would be great if I saw that every day. But you know what cultivates it? I'll read it. Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. This is Romans 12. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. This is a Message translation. I love the Message. TPT is growing on me. Not there yet. I love the Message. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Help needy Christians. Be inventive in hospitality. Bless your enemies. No cursing under your breath. Laugh with your happy friends when they're happy. Share tears. This sounds like a kindergarten. You know what I mean? It sounds so basic. We got this. No, we don't. This is what cultivates. This is what attracts the manifestation of the presence of God in your life. This is the kinds of things you walk around with, and an ascetic monk who's been waiting 10 years is drawn to it, and a guy who's walked away since he was a teenager is drawn to it, and they give their lives to the Lord. It's not because we preach an eloquent gospel. We just live in the simplicity of who God is internally, inwardly in our lives. Share tears when they're down. Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be the greatest somebody. Don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. Change your language. Add beauty to it. Add descriptions of people when you write, and when you write emails, when you talk, when you have a conversation. Add those things. I have done it purposefully in order to train my mind to love God more through simple things. Don't insist on getting even. If you've got it in you, get along with everybody. Our scriptures tell us that if you see your enemy hungry, go buy that person lunch. Do you want the manifest presence of God in your life at work? I'm sure all of us have at least one person that irritates you at work. I'm not declaring that, but in case you do. Oh yeah, I buy me lunch tomorrow, Edgar. Back at you, buddy. If you have somebody who bothers you, irritates you. I'm serious. This is what the Message translation of that passage says. Buy him lunch. Don't talk about it. Just buy him lunch. You want to go out to lunch? Hey, you asked me out to lunch tomorrow. He's asking me out to lunch. Oh, man. I need ministry time. If he's thirsty, get him a drink. Your generosity will surprise him with goodness. Don't let evil get the best of you. Get the best of evil by doing good. And here's what it says in John. I love this passage. John 1, 1 John 1, 1 and 2. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was now manifest to us. The presence of God is meant to be touched. In such a practical way. Thank you, Lord. Come on, stand to our feet. Thank you, Lord. God, we don't want this to remain. We want to encounter this, the spiritual realities of your presence, your manifest presence corporately. And we want the personal manifestation of your presence in our lives in such a real way that we're not lost in language that people don't understand. Everybody understands lunch. Everybody understands a cup of coffee. Everybody understands kindness. Everybody understands mercy. Thank you, Lord. Cultivate that in us and let that become the logs, that become the fire that is stoked in our lives, that in this way we are ready to preach the gospel in season or out, because every day somebody's hungry. Are you with me? Every day somebody is in need. Every day somebody can be healed with just a smile on your face and a kind word, or even a greeting to somebody you may not have greeted at work before because of apprehensions. You are carriers of the presence of God with simple things in your heart, in your hands, in your lips, your eyes, your countenance. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine. I'm not speaking a blessing. I'm just saying... Lord, make his face to shine upon you. May he lift up his countenance upon you. Sometimes we need to tell our face what our heart believes so that somebody else can believe the same thing. When I'm up there on stage, exhortation, Edgar will often smile. He'll do this because I'm lost in that intensity, but there is actually a smile in my heart. But what if we walked in the simplicity of that daily and we cultivated both the corporate reality of the presence of God and the personal, both devotion and the practice of his presence? Brian touched on this last week, the practice of his presence in a daily, in a real, tangible way. No one can deny this in our lives. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So two things we want to take time to go into, and we'll be dismissed as well if you need to go. I know we need to get children as well. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, I want you to come to this side. And if ministry team, pastors, whoever is available to pray, even if you don't have a prayer tag, come up and help us pray. And if you want just a fresh encounter with God, manifestation of his presence in your life, sometimes it can be physical, sometimes it can be within.
Thanks. Just stay right there. Just as Chani started out talking about Ethiopia right at the beginning of the meeting and going to that high place, and I just heard as clear as day that as you just, I can see people get alone, and it's like a mandate on some of our lives, and you feel like it's so important because I know he's saying he's taking the high places. He's taking the high places in Elizabethtown. He's taking the high places in Lemoyne. He's taking the high places in Mechanicsburg. He's taking the high places in Hummelstown. He's taking the high places in Harrisburg. And I just heard it as clear as day. And it's something connected to this whole theme we're doing about his presence. As you host, as you get alone, just where you finished about your personal life, there's something about that and I don't think it's retaking. He's taking these high places again. It's such a bigger deal than we know. It's huge. It's huge. It affects the whole region. Do you hear me? Do you understand that about the high places? It's so huge if you look through the scriptures. So just something to throw in there. Just he's doing that. Wherever you live, he's taking those high places again. Okay.
So ministry team, you can come up here. Some of our team can be available. Come on, guys. Don't be bashful. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit and want it, this is an amazing atmosphere, amazing opportunity. Come up to this side and our team will pray for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Come on, just come up to the people that are here waiting to pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you just want a fresh encounter, use the rest of the room. Come on, guys. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your presence here. We thank you for your glory that abides here, because there is a company of people that have placed you at the center of our lives. As people are coming, I just want to bless everyone who has come out tonight. If you need to leave, you're dismissed to go. If you want to stay to receive prayer, come on, you guys can just start praying. In Jesus' name, bless you. Thank you, Lord. God, we honor your presence. Holy Spirit, we love you. We love your manifestation. We love your manifest presence among us that transforms us, that changes us. Thank you, Lord. We honor your touch. We honor your encounter. Thank you, Lord. We honor your revelation in and through our lives, that we dare to meet with you and you dare to make history through our lives, God. Thank you, Lord, for every life, for every circumstance associated with your life, your business, your home, your children, your environment, your neighborhood, your co-workers, those who work for you, relatives, family members, in every sphere of life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Be carriers of the glory of God. Be carriers of the presence of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You qualify. You qualify to carry the ark of his presence. You qualify because you love him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Increase your presence in our lives. Thank you, Lord.